This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Thank you so much for being here again. Welcome back to Hannah Worldwide and Friends, the podcast where traveler, experts, and adventurer share their stories. If you want to learn about what it's like living in another country, you want to experience a new culture, or you just love to travel, this podcast is for you. Or maybe you need to get out of your comfort zone, and this podcast might be the inspiration you need. You can find me on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hi everyone, please welcome with me Anna Roberts from the UK. Anna is an expert and mindset coach and made it her mission to help other expats and people who are living abroad to have the best experience they can possibly have. And this was the result of her own experience of living abroad in France for 10 years. Thank you so much, Anna, for making time to talk to me today and to share your profession, give us some insight about it, and also share your own experience with us today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for inviting me and for reaching out, because I know that you resonate with my content and my story. So yeah, it's great that we've been connected through social media together, and yeah, very happy to talk about my experience as an expat living abroad and what led me to become an expat helping other people, a coach helping other expats. So
yeah. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people don't even know that coaches for expats exist, and I'm sure because there are so many people who are migrating, living overseas, living abroad, and we all struggle in one way or the other. And I think a lot of people would be grateful to know that those options exist and that people like you exist and that, you know, coaching in that regard can happen.
Yeah, for sure. I was just going to say it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I actually have had people reach out saying, oh my God, I never knew that an expat coach existed. And that's exactly what led me to want to become an expat coach, because of my struggles, and I didn't have anybody to tell me what you're feeling is actually very, very normal. And this is the way to get over this, and this is the way to process it. And also there is a decision of you can put in that effort and go forward and make it amazing, or you can decide that it's okay, you don't want to do it, and there's no shame in that. So yeah, it's really fascinating how people aren't aware that there are expat coaches, and actually there's more and more of us, which is great, because we all need help.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why it resonates with me too, because I have had my fair share of struggles too. And I'm talking, especially on this podcast, to other expats and migrants, and I'm sure we all have moments where we don't know how to deal with it in the best way, or we ask ourselves, was it the right decision? So it's really cool to have you talk about your experience as well. So do you mind sharing with us how you got motivated to go and to live abroad yourself in the first place?
Oh my gosh. So I really feel like that story started when I was probably five. I've always loved geography. I remember my brother had a globe, and I used to just study it and be like, oh, let's go to this place and this place. I was always fascinated with learning about different cultures, different countries, traveling from a very, very young age. And when I got into high school, I started learning French and getting really deeper into that language and being fascinated with the culture as well. So when I left university, it was kind of like, what should I do? Maybe I should go to France and just live out this dream that I've always had, you know, in the back of my mind for a long time, like really, really learning the language, which was always a dream of mine as well. And So yeah, that's why I went to France, and I just fell in love. I mean, I studied French for so long, and then I was on holiday quite a lot with my family, so I had a lot of, you know, happy memories of being in France. So it kind of, that was the affinity that I had that brought me back to France, where I am currently right now, actually. And yeah, that's kind of, that was the thing that led me there. I just always fascinated with learning different cultures, and Paris in particular was a great option because it was very, very easy to find a job. Well, easy in relative terms because it's more international, and there are so many internationals in Paris. So I had the best of both worlds. I had the love of French and French culture, and being able to have so many friends from all over the world. And that is definitely one of the key things that led me to go to Paris. Yeah.
May I ask what you studied? Like, what was the work you could do in France?
Yeah, so I studied history in social history, so more about human behaviors and stuff like that. So kind of a psychological angle in the UK. And when I left, it was, okay, now let's go into a corporate job. Let's go into the corporate world. Now you're an adult. Do the work, do the job. And I just it didn't feel right. I didn't want to do it. So I applied for so many jobs. Well, first of all, I actually went to Brittany. I went to Brittany to teach English in France. Did that for a bit, deepened my love of France. Then I got a job in the south of France on a campsite, really studied the immersion in the language. So that was very intense, but necessary to develop the language skills. And then when I went back to the UK, it just didn't feel right. So at that moment, that's when I started applying for so many jobs in Paris. And I ended up getting a job at the British Embassy, where it's a lot more flexible in the UK to get jobs that are not necessarily related to what you studied. It's different to a mainland Europe. And the embassy, the British Embassy, acted in the same way. So what I studied wasn't really related to what I was doing at the embassy, but it doesn't matter because they just look at where you studied and are you capable of doing the job. That's basically it, which is good.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think a lot of people are afraid to, when they don't find anything in their area that they studied, to reach out and to try and apply for other jobs. So it's really good to hear like positive examples of not having to study something to get a job in another area, and sometimes just to prove that you have certain skills on your CV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of it's competency-based skills. And to be honest, the UK is a little bit more flexible. It's I know in France, for example, comparing the two, it's very specific. You have to have done so many studies, and normally they do a master's degree and everything in a very specific, tailored branch of, I don't know, business or something like that, or marketing, but it's a tailored branch of marketing. And then that they have to do a job based in that. Whereas in the UK, it's a lot more fluid, which is great. Because it worked out for me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to know. I think in Germany, we are a little bit more like France as well. It's really not that easy.
It seems to be, that seems to be how it is in mainland Europe, which is very strange how the UK is quite different. But that can also be a challenge, because if you're a British expat going to mainland Europe and you have the same expectations of how it works in the UK, you're going to be in for a rude awakening because it's not the same. So I do help some people finding jobs that are more tailored to, like, what are the options for you if you don't have the necessary skills or you don't have a master's degree. It can be a block, but there's ways around it. But you just have to kind of know the workarounds and have drop the this is how it should happen kind of thing, and just go with what is available to you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Can you maybe sum up your own experience during the 10 years you were living in France and what your struggles were, and then how that ultimately led to becoming an expert and a mindset coach.
Yeah. Okay. Let's sum up 10 years. I guess some people who ask me this, how did you feel right at the beginning? It's like, oh gosh, 10 years ago. So I moved to Paris, and it was at the beginning, I would say the first 6 months, it was great because it was new surroundings. It was the dream. I had the dream. I was working at the British Embassy. I was like, whoa, this is amazing. Yeah. And all these kind of synchronistic things that happened, that just felt like everything was happening naturally and it was meant to happen. And I had a lot of fun. I didn't have the loneliness problem that a lot of expats have. And it's getting worse now. I would say the loneliness issue is getting a lot more intense, especially for digital nomads, people who aren't working, who are very isolated. And I didn't have that because I was at the embassy, and it feels like it was an extension of university. There was a lot of young people. I was 24 when I was at the embassy. So we were all like early 20s. We were going out for drinks. It was just so much fun. Yeah. And I never had the loneliness. But what I did have, though, was after the first 6 months, because I was on a 6 month contract initially, I only thought I was going to be there for 6 months. So I was like living life, living the dream, and not really thinking about the future or where I'm going to be, because it was 6 months and that was it. After those 6 months, it got extended, and then I got a permanent contract, and then 10 years I stayed. There were starting to be more existential questions, deeper questions about who am I, what nationality am I really? Do I feel more connected to the UK? Do I feel more connected to France? Am I going to live in Paris forever? What type of job am I going to do? If I don't want to work at the embassy, what job am I going to do after that? Because I don't have a master's, I don't have, you know, the specific studies that I mentioned, all these types of questions. And that's when things got more tricky. I started to feel more and more unsettled, in the sense that I was not really living in the present moment, comparing this place to that place, trying to put myself in a box in terms of feeling too British to be Parisian.
Yeah.
And when I went home, feeling too not British enough. That makes sense. Yeah. I would go home and I would just feel like, wait, but this life either doesn't really suit me, because now I'm used to seeing and talking to people in different languages, speaking French, and not in like a I'm better than you kind of vibe, but just like I couldn't find my place in society in a way. Like I felt like I was neither at home in the UK and neither at home in Paris. And that was quite a lonely experience. So I didn't feel lonely in that I had people, our friends from the embassy and stuff, but lonely in terms of I was having these very deep existential kind of crises. And that loneliness, that unsettled feeling, creates a lack of commitment to the present, to where I am right now, to going forward and knowing that everything will work out. I didn't believe that everything would work out. I felt like I had to have everything figured out, which creates more unsettledness, which creates more loneliness. And it's just a vicious cycle that goes round and round. And I had a lot of good times in Paris for sure, but a lot of the time it was in the back of my mind that I would be thinking, well, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. Even to the extent of dating, like I would sometimes date, I would have French boyfriends, and then I would be, you know, little panic attacks. Like, I don't know if I'm going to stay here and what's going to happen, and all these like catastrophizing ideas. That was kind of my experience. I mean, of course, like I had an amazing time. I wouldn't have stayed for 10 years if it was so difficult. Every single day, and there were no positive aspects to being there, because there are many positive aspects. But I felt like a lot of it was kind of undermined by the thoughts around, am I doing expat life accurately? Am I doing it correctly? Is this enough? FOMO, missing out home and thinking that maybe life would be better back home, missing my family, all these types of things. And I thought those are, and a lot of expats have this, I thought that I was the only one thinking this and that I was doing something not right. And it turns out that a lot of what I was thinking was very, very normal and could have been avoided if I'd had the right guidance, if I'd had the right kind of support. So yeah, that's a lot of rambling in my 10 years of living around.
No, that's a really good idea. And especially you brought up that identity crisis you pretty much had where you were not sure where to belong. And I had multiple people on this podcast as well that said, and we call it the in-between, they don't really feel like that's their home, even though it's their home. And they don't really feel like they fully belong to the new place. And it's like hard to not have that scarcity mindset of, I'm less of a German in my case now, and I'm not really fully a Kiwi, but I'm trying to make it a shift in my mindset as well, that I think I'm 100% German, will always be, and I'm just adding on with the Kiwi aspect, so that I'm, instead of minimizing my identity, I just amplify and add on so that it becomes more rather than less, because that gives me a little bit of a more positive way of thinking. But
yeah,
I can totally relate to the factors of missing out, missing the family and friends, and not knowing, will you be still here in like 10 years, or do you go back? And what happens if the parents get older? And all these actual questions you ask yourself as an adult with, where do you see your future? Do you want to have a partner in this country or rather not? Like, very relatable. And I'm sure a lot of people who are listening or watching can totally relate to that too. So how did that end up in, I'm going to be a coach and I'm going to make that experience for everyone better because now I know what to do?
It took me a long time to, I always say I was in Paris for 10 years, and I would say it was around the more or less the 8-year mark that I was like, oh shit, like a lot of what I was thinking was really avoidable. And you know, getting on that kind of spiritual path and being more open. And what you mentioned about your identity kind of crisis, I stopped trying to define myself, and just like you mentioned as well, which is really, really beautiful, adding on to your identity. Like, you don't have to take away, it doesn't mean anything like that. You're just evolving. And there was a moment when I had that clarity for myself, and I had the realization that I was doing everything right, and there was a certain strategy, a certain steps to feeling settled, and everything was right. And there's also the mindset thing, because if you don't have the right mindset, you can do all the work and you'll still feel unsettled. And that's why I'm a mindset coach as well. And it was really when I had that moment of kind of clarity that there was nothing, you know, that a lot of it was just like, how grounded do I feel in myself? And I started taking more care of myself and looking after my needs and understanding what my values were and understanding what my needs were and meeting that and being kind and compassionate to myself. That's when I started to feel better in myself. And I was like, oh, it's not about the place. And I started, all the negative thoughts that we're having about, you know, when you have a bad day abroad and you start thinking, oh, these people are just so mean, or they're just so not like, you know, you're comparing this country and that culture and all these different things in your mind. And all those kind of things that I had in my mind just subsided because I was feeling so much better in myself. And when people say that your reality is a reflection of your inner world, that's when I had that light bulb moment of, oh yeah, like totally. and how powerful that is, and how amazing that is, and how powerful I am, because I can literally fulfill my needs or create a strategy to fulfill my needs, like connection. I can do it partially myself and through other people. And there's a way of kind of almost calculating what I needed and ensuring that I'm taking care of myself. And that is when everything changed. And when I was looking around more and more to other people, talking to my friends, because I had an idea that I wanted to be a coach for quite a while, but I wasn't, I was more or less 100% sure that I wanted to work with expats because I, you know, because of my difficulties, and I was witnessing more and more around me. Yeah. And when I was speaking more, that was just clarified. It was just 100% solidified that I wanted to do it for other expats, other adventurous souls. And a lot of what I struggled with was so avoidable. And it's all about the empowerment aspect, but also being realistic that we need connection to other people. So many limiting beliefs that people have around being an expat, that the very common one, having to have local friends. It yeah. does happen, but it doesn't have to be straight away. It doesn't have any definition about whether you belong as an expat, whether you should be there. Get rid of that. You know, all these kind of like limiting beliefs that we have.
Yeah.
Breaking them down and taking the easier, more accessible path to feeling settled, and ensuring that that basis, the foundation, the core connection to you is there as well. So yeah, that's that moment of clarity was like, okay, yeah, I need to spread this around, because there's so many people who are struggling, and I don't yeah. want them to struggle. And I'm sure that they're struggling for very similar reasons to what I'm doing, to what I'm experiencing. So that's mm-hmm. what kind of sparked this off. And it was kind of scary because, like I mentioned just yeah. before we did this recording, that I wasn't sure if I was really by myself on this or not. So, you know, putting my content out there, putting how my experiences out there, and a lot of people resonate with it. So I know that there's definitely a lot of people who are struggling with this. And I want to just spread that message that it's, you don't have to. There is a
yeah.
much easier way.
Nice. It's like your purpose. You found your purpose. How to serve
it
the world.
It feels like that. Single-handedly.
No, I think that's awesome. And especially to do something where you have experienced it yourself, that's the best way of actually helping other people and be that guidance and the person who can help out with it. Because if you are a coach for expats but you have never lived abroad, like, that's just not yeah. gonna work, right? Like, you can do the work yeah. and you can study, but if you've never experienced it yourself, it's just not quite the same.
I agree. And I do feel like you can be a coach or a therapist or a counselor and help anybody and not have to have experienced that. But at the same time, I do think that there is a level of true understanding that if you've not lived it yourself, then you can empathize, you can be compassionate, and you can understand, but not to the same degree. And I have had clients who've seen therapists through their work and seen therapists to try and help them through their struggles and stuff. But if the therapist hasn't lived the same experience, they don't fully, I mean, I would say that they felt like they didn't fully understand. And from my experience as well, my therapist was great, but at the same time, she wasn't an expat. So there was, I felt like a little bit of a disconnect as well.
Yeah, I guess they can help you with the emotions and how to deal with it. But you don't feel like they connect in the same way because you know they haven't experienced the same. I think that's really a connection point there, which is quite helpful. And
yeah,
you mentioned something before, and I really wanted to ask you a question about that too, because I have asked myself this question and I am 50-50 with the answer, and I'm really curious what you think. Because what I experience here is that I have a lot of friends from other countries who have built an amazing, incredible, big community for themselves, but from their own country, like people from their own country. Mm. So they kind of built their own new little home here with people from their home country. And that's beautiful. And I love that. But then also, I'm always wondering what would be better, to emerge fully in the country and the culture and be more with everyone around them and, you know, connect with everyone? Or is it just such a natural habit to be drawn towards the people from our own country because they have, you know, similar values in some aspects maybe, or like habits and celebrations and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Do you think a lot of people are going one way or the other, or one thing is better than the others? Do you have an opinion of that?
I really think it depends on what you need, what your personal needs are, your types of connection. What do you need as that? At the same time, I don't think we went abroad to not experience the culture that we're living in, to not feel fully connected and to adopt, you know, some of the values and the things that we love, which brought us to that country in the first place. So I went with this feeling as well. Like I wanted to be French. I wanted to be Parisian. I wanted to live the French life. And that's a lot of people do that. They go abroad because they want that. And that's beautiful. And if you have that desire, it will happen. The danger is when you go abroad and you are putting a lot of pressure and a lot of emphasis and making it mean something about your belonging or whether you've failed or not as an expat, by not having local friends, by not having friends who are foreign or, you know, international, or having a French boyfriend or something like that. That's the dangerous thing, is you can spend a lot of time trying very, very hard to have local friends and creating that community with people from the country, because it can be harder to do that. And if they don't have a gap in their social calendar for new friends, you can be trying hard for a long time, and that can have a big a negative impact on your confidence, in your sense of belonging where you live. And you might think that, oh, well, just having expat friends, that means that I'm not, you know, that I'm not welcome here or whatever, or I'm not doing something right. And there's no shame in having expat friends. And I think it's great to have expat friends. We need them, really. It's expat people are much, much more open to meeting new people. We don't have any friends most of the time. We want to connect with people, and the easiest way is through expat friends, people who can speak your culture, that connection that you have to back home. And I think that's for me in Paris, I had a lot of expat friends from all over the world. And then when I let go of trying to have local friends, because I found it really, really hard, and it was damaging me, like it was having an impact on my self-confidence and my sense of belonging. And when I let go of that dream, like something that my therapist used to say was like, when you drop the dream happens. And I let go of the dream of trying to have French friends, because I just knew it would, and it's also manifesting in a way, like, you know, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. Like, so I dropped it, and I was like, it will happen when it happens, and I'm open to it. And that's what I want. And then I focused on making friends, fulfilling my needs, connecting, having a great time. And then I started getting French friends. And then I started having like lots of people getting a French boyfriend, which was just some weird egoic kind of thing that I needed to do. And a lot of people in France have that as well, which is very, very funny. And so now I have the best of both worlds, but I don't see anything wrong with just having your little community of people from your culture, if that works for you. And there will always be different degrees of wanting to be connected to the place for that person. And maybe that works enough, being in that country, like you're in New Zealand, being in New Zealand, maybe working with other people from there, and at the same time in your social life, connecting to people from your home country. That's, you know, it really depends on your preferences and the way you want to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for that. And I think it's also really dependent on the reasons why you left your country in the first place. Some people are just looking for adventure. Some people just want to have something new. And some people literally had to leave their home country. And I think then you will always try to find the community to be reminded on your home that you miss so dearly. So I guess a lot of different reasons, as you said, and what type of personality you are and what's important to you. And I really loved, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, so I work primarily with expats. So expat is mainly people who are working abroad for a certain amount of time, or they're under the assumption that it's going to be for a certain amount of time and then it ends up being longer. Whereas the, like, as you put it so well, like if you're an immigrant, for example, or if you've moved abroad because you didn't necessarily have a choice or for other reasons, then yeah, that connection to your home and to your culture is probably going to be stronger.
Yeah. And I loved how you brought it up as well with, if you are so focused on something, you're like, I really want to have French friends and it's so important. You try to control this whole situation, which is, let's be honest, there's nothing we can control about that, how we make connections, how we make friends. That's so out of our control, except the part where we are kind and open and friendly to make a connection. But everything else is so dependent on the other people as well. And it's so interesting how you said when you drop the dream happens. It's like if you stop focusing on it and if you just let it happen naturally and if you just let go of that forceful thought of I need to have a French boyfriend, I need to make French friends, then it's just a natural process. So that's really beautiful.
Yeah, and it's the same rules with manifesting. Like with manifesting is like, you know, it's going to happen. You have full conviction that it's going to happen. So you're acting as if, so you're giving out a different energy. And that energy is very attractive, and you know, it's magnetic, and you attract people into your life, and it kind of accelerates the process. But you can't do it with an egoic kind of sneaky agenda of like, if I believe this, then it will happen, because that's still ego. So that's basically manifesting, and it's great. Get into that a lot more.
Oh yeah, that's probably also the part of mindset, but we will come to that shortly. Do you mind just mentioning a few of the most common struggles expats have that you have encountered, because you're working with a lot of different people? Is there like a common theme where you say this is always coming up and this is really something almost everyone struggles with?
Well, my whole kind of premise is about helping people, stop people feeling in limbo, as in putting their life on hold because they're trying to make a decision, and get them feeling settled now. So that is a very, very common theme, and it does appear in different forms, but it's more or less the same thing. It's the same like thread that runs through everything. And a major thing is expat loneliness, going abroad, not knowing people, not, you know, trying to make friends with locals, it not always working, not being resistant to having friends with expat people because you don't want to have your own community of expats. And especially more and more now with people working from home, with partners who moved abroad with their husband or their wife, and they're the one who's not working, and they're at home a lot and they feel very isolated. So that loneliness, which, as I mentioned before, creates the feeling of not wanting to commit to where you're living, so you're not going to do the work to feel better, to start fulfilling your needs. And then creates more unsettled feelings and questioning. So the decision making, should I stay or should I go, tends to be quite a common topic. Yeah. But behind that is a deeper subject. It's not about making that decision to stay or go. It's what are you trying to get from that decision? It's normally a sense of comfort or security, which comes from feeling settled, which comes from feeling committed to where you're, to your decision, having that trust in yourself. So yeah, it's the loneliness comes up, the wanting to make a decision, and homesickness, but it's all very, very, very related. But yeah, they're the main points.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Coming to your coaching and specifically to the points you just mentioned, how do you work with people who approach you and want your help? Do you have specific techniques? Do you have some methods? Or what type of tools do you have to help them navigate the life abroad, to help them overcome fears or to solve these issues or to solve the questions in their mind, should I stay, should I go?
Mm. Yeah, so the should I stay, should I go one, that one takes some, it requires commitment. So it's the same kind of process that I use, but obviously I tailor it slightly to different clients who have different needs. And the stay or go question is the same as how do you feel more grounded, more settled, quicker living overseas. As in the first stage, I always kind of do an overall assessment of how they're feeling in their life, how fulfilled are their key priorities right now in their life. Like the Wheel of Life coaching tool, which is a very, very basic and very used coaching tool, but it's great because you just get an overview of where you're ranking kind of thing in your needs and in your priorities. And you can see very, very clearly why you don't feel good, because there's big gaps. So, okay, with the big gaps, let's mitigate this. Let's look at how we can build this up through little strategies, through action steps week by week. I get some clients who feel lonely because they have social anxiety and they've moved abroad, they've done a massive step to move abroad, and yet they feel very scared in meeting new people. And then it's taking, you know, smaller steps, because it's going too far will overwhelm the client. Even though we have an end goal, sometimes that can be very overwhelming to think of that end goal. So it's going step by step and small tweaks in terms of emphasizing the strengths, that the key strengths that they have, the skills that they have that they've normalized, that they don't see as skills.
Yeah.
And highlighting how that's not normal. That's great. Like, this is amazing. You have an actual strength, you have an actual skill set. Use this, let's use this. And it's building up that confidence. In the same way with the decision-making aspect. So it's step one is always getting more grounded, getting more settled in terms of your needs, fulfilling your needs. So you are making a decision from a more whole place. Because when we're triggered, when we feel sad, when we feel stressed and anxious, we're not always in the right mindset to start making a decision. And the mind will always look for things to prove why we're feeling the way we are, even if it's not accurate. And if we can get more grounded, more connected to ourselves, we're much more stable, and we can take a decision. We can start making decisions, start looking deeper beyond what is the decision, what is it that you're actually looking, and from a more equanimous point of view. So, you know, like, there's less trigger, it's more stable. So then you can start to work a little bit more on the some limiting beliefs, which can be a little bit tricky, a little bit painful to process, especially if the decision is actually I want to leave. There's a lot of charge behind that, a lot of grief, a lot of pain, and a lot of expectation that that person might have put on themselves. And it's letting that go. And if you're not in a grounded place first of all, that can be very, very, very painful. It's always going to be painful because it's letting go of something, a story. But we have to be at a comfortable spot, more stable spot to begin with.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much. I found like a lot of points were really good points. Also, what really resonated with me was the fact with like first checking where you are at with your own mental state, like how do you feel? What do you do to feel all right? Where are the gaps? And then the fact that having like an idea what your strengths are, because I can tell for myself, I must have strength, I must have skills. But because for me, it's so normal, I can't tell where am I stronger than maybe someone else? What's my skill? Where am I maybe a little bit stronger than someone, as someone else? And for me, it's just there, it's just normal. And then I wouldn't bring it up as a skill, but talking to someone like with you to actually have a completely whole picture of yourself and where you are at and what your strengths are and where you can work on a little bit more and what you can use to your advantage in living in a country which is not your own, where you feel like naturally in a disadvantage, is such a strong point to mention. So yeah, that was definitely a good one for me.
Yeah. And so a lot of the time we see, like I mentioned, that our brains, our minds like to look at things outside of us to back up how we're feeling. So when you live abroad, it's very easy for the mind to be like, oh, it's because of this, because you're not living at home, because of this person's mean, this aspect of the culture you hate. So how can you live here? And it's very easy to attach. And every time it'll go back to, maybe you should leave. Maybe you should just go home. Yeah. And when we start, the mindset tools of like watching the mind, seeing the beliefs, and when we start to analyze, well, where are you ungrounded right now? What are you not prioritizing? Where are you feeling? Where is there a massive lack? And building that up, we slowly start to see, well, actually, it's not a problem with the location, and getting more reconnected to why is it you came in the first place, and honing in on those aspects that you love and noticing the things that you dislike. And it's okay to dislike some things about living abroad. There is no place that has only good. And that is a huge thing. You don't have to love it all the time. And when we are feeling better in ourselves, that's much less of a trigger. We can be like, yeah, it's okay, I own it. It's, you know, like, I don't like the aspect of it, but it's not going to rock me anymore. I'm not going to be like, okay, let's start Googling flights home or writing out my pros and cons list for the 50th time of, is this place better than home? You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And let's be honest, once someone makes a decision without actually thinking about it properly to just leave and go back home, then probably there might also be feelings of regret or feeling like a failure, because you might have planned to stay 5 years and you just made it to year two or whatever. It's probably also good to rather talk about those emotions and deal with it before you make the big decision to just go back. Because as you said, sometimes it's easier. And I wanted to ask you the question, but I feel like you already answered it really nicely, that what mindset shift you think someone needs to have to make it a successful adaptation in a new culture or country.
Yeah. So like reconnecting back to your why you moved abroad in the first place, because I think that we always, people who are expats or people who travel additional meds, there is something that has called us to go to that country. It's a calling. It's like a soul's call in a way. And so what is it that you wanted to experience? being in the, you know, being here now. And when you notice in your mind going off to the future, like, yeah, but I'm only here for a year, or what am I going to do in 5 years or 10 years? And it gets very like panicky bringing yourself back, because you don't need to know. We don't need to know what the future is. It's good to have an overall plan, but it's getting in, tapping into that uncertainty that a lot of people, all humans struggle with uncertainty. Unfortunately, when you choose this life, there is a shitload of uncertainty, and you can't get around that. And so that is something that we have to accept. If we have chosen this life, there is so much uncertainty. There are so many things that we don't know. And that is a whole new shift, a whole new mindset thing, is tapping into that and learning to be more comfortable, which is so easy to say, be comfortable in the discomfort. It takes time. It's a process. And also normalizing it and being like, it's okay to feel like this. It's okay to not know. This is the path that I've chosen, and I will figure it out when I figure it out. And if at one point I don't want to be here anymore, I know that I will make the right decision to leave. Or if I meet someone, we will figure it out together and make that right decision. And the thoughts, so the thoughts, the stories that are coming up in your mind, that are the mind that's saying, but this aspect of living in France or living in New Zealand is, I hate this. It's not like that back in Germany. It's not like that back in the UK. People in the UK are so much nicer than they are in Paris. And that was a tricky one, because it's kind of true. The Parisians don't have a great reputation.
Yeah.
But if you go with that mindset, in your mind will start looking for ways to back it up. And then you realize, when you flip it and you're like, actually, some people are very nice, and you're in a better mood, and you're like, oh, that person's so nice to me, that it just starts crushing the belief, because it's really about how you want to come across. And if you come across with people who are unfriendly, then it doesn't touch you as much. And being aware of the beliefs that appear in your mind, and just not having to do anything to it, literally just noticing it. This is probably the biggest game changer ever. And yet it's quite difficult to do, because the mind is very sneaky, and we are not always aware of our thoughts. And it takes a lot of time to develop that level of conscious awareness. And seeing the thoughts, hearing the thoughts, feeling it, the sensation in your body, and detaching from it, like, as in knowing that you feel a certain way because of that thought, and that's not you.
Yeah.
And that is like a huge thing, because it's just very, very, very easy to get sucked into the thoughts and the narrative and the stories of either they're not doing something right or you're not doing something right. And this is like a tool that you can use in life. It's not just specific to expats, but I think it's very, very helpful for expats, because it's a harder life. We're going against the grain. We're not living that normal path that we've been taught from a young age of, you know, going to school, going to uni, getting a job, getting married, and pretty much in where you've grown up. We've broken from accepting that those thoughts are going to come up, and this is the way it is. So it's either being resistant to it forever, which is going to cause a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, and you're not going to enjoy your expat experience. And if you can't break through from that, maybe it's not the life for you.
Yeah.
And that's a tough decision. Or accepting that this is the way it is and working through it.
Yeah. That's really good. Thank you so much for that. Especially, it reminded me on a question you actually brought up in one of your stories. I won't ask the question now, because I think people should just check out your page and have a look at it themselves, because you actually answer the question if you think that if living abroad and being an expat is for everyone. And you answer that question really nicely. And I just leave that open for people to actually go and explore and check out your page. I will also put your contact and your Instagram page and everything in the notes so that people can find you. But a lot of interesting questions and really great answers as well. And I love how you connect pretty much the mind and the expat life. And that's why the expat and mindset coach makes total sense, because it does make a difference. So thank you so much. Yeah. It's a wonderful conversation. I think we could talk for a long time, but I also think we have learned quite a bit. And I hope that everyone who is like interested in getting help or who is actually struggling at the moment, that they are taking something from it. But what would be the best way of connecting with you if someone sees this and thinks, oh, I actually would love to work with her?
Literally my Instagram, just reach out in my DMs and we can have a chat there, or book a call, a free call, so we can have a go into a bit more detail about if it's the right match for that person and in what way could we work together potentially. Really, thank you so much for inviting me on the podcast. It's been fun. I really love talking about this subject. I love talking about mindset work and as you said, connecting that to the life that we have chosen, which is not always the most easy of lives. But it doesn't mean that it has to be super hard. We can make it so much easier. And I love hearing from people, from you, from other people, like all these different adventurous souls who... I loved hearing their experiences. So, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. It's like, just the connection to other people. I think it might be the same for you. I really enjoy that a lot. And I love talking about new topics and hearing new ideas and seeing what resonates, and also seeing how, sometimes you're just on the same wavelength. You have the same ideas and you have like similar ideas and belief systems, and it's just great to connect to new people as well. I'm ending every episode with my quick sweet questions. Tailored them a tiny bit for you, but it's usually answering them really short, like in one word or one sentence, to keep it kind of,
it's gonna be doesn't,
doesn't always work out that way, but I won't punish you for going over. But so question number one, while you were living in Paris, what did you miss the most from the UK?
What came to my head instantly was gluten-free food, because I'm a celiac, so I have to have a gluten-free diet, and France is not the easiest.
Oh my
it's
god,
definitely
I
not the
imagine.
Easiest gluten-free food. Yeah, it was a bit of a boring answer, but
Well, I'm sorry that you have to deal with that, because I know it's really hard. Nowadays, a tiny bit better, but it's still quite hard to be gluten-free for like really strictly. So, because it's in everything, really.
Yeah, and especially in France, when you walk past the bakeries and there's like baguette and croissant, and you're just like, oh, I can't eat it.
yeah. And you know it's good.
I was just like torturing myself, basically.
Oh god, I'm so sorry, but your answer makes total sense. All right, question number two, what activity would you recommend an expat living abroad to connect to new people?
Okay, this isn't going to be a one word. So choosing something that you are actually interested in doing. A lot of expats sign up for everything and anything to not be lonely. It makes you look more lonely in the long run. So do something that you like. So painting class or dance class or anything like that. and sign up for it. And even if there's fear, do it anyway. And I always say doing something that you actually enjoy is the best activity, because you're going to have more connection with the people there as well, more chances of meeting new people and connecting with new people. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well said. That's perfect. And it wasn't that much longer than a sentence. So, awesome. And the last question for you. What advice, and I'm sure we heard a lot of advice, but what comes into your mind as advice you would give someone who is thinking about going abroad?
If there's a language barrier, make sure that you have something set up, as in regular lessons. There's so many different ways to suit your budget, everyone's budgets, to learn a language. That really helps in tiny connections, like being able to order a coffee, being able to go to the bakery, things like that, being able to just say thanks, have a good day, or you know, just make a little bit of conversation with someone in the supermarket. Not having that, it will be very, very difficult. If there's no language barrier, then I would say number one, and what I didn't do, is prioritize like you would prioritize your job, schedule it in, meeting other people, having a social activity is something that you would like to do, and have it programmed in from day one, not waiting until all the admin's sorted out, until you're feeling more settled in your apartment, until you feel better in your job, because that will happen. And then by the end of it, you'll be like, oh, but I'm lonely, I have no friends. And the connecting will propel you forward. So I always tell my clients to do this, because this helps, yeah, propel you, push you forward, and you feel that instant, immediate connection with people, even whilst you're feeling the unsettledness of having to deal with the bureaucracy and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. That's a really good advice. And I just try to reflect on my own experience, and I did not do that. But I was lucky enough to have a job right away where there were so many people from all over the world that I was able to connect. But it is such a good advice to not wait until everything is settled, because I'm 6 years in now, and I still haven't properly went to activities or had a hobby or whatever. And if I would be a little bit less of a social butterfly, then I probably would struggle by now. So it's such a great advice to just do it immediately. Yeah. As you said, everything else will fall in place naturally anyways. Yeah. So thank you so much. Is there anything you would like to get out before we end this?
I think, you know, the expat life living abroad, it is amazing. And as much as I talk about the difficulties on Instagram and here I've spoken about difficulties, and we know the difficulties, I don't want it to be overwhelming and to ignore the beauty and the pureness, the beauty of living and speaking to other people from everywhere. We have such an amazing opportunity, and so many people don't have this, and we're very, very lucky. So keeping we can feel sad and we can feel lonely, and that's totally normal to feel like that as well. And there is no shame in feeling like that. And also holding on to why we came abroad, how amazing this is, how lucky we are, and what potential there is to experience, and it's all there within our grasp. And so that's what I'm here to do, is to help you remove the pain of it, because it's really not necessary. The struggle of it is not necessary.
Perfect. Thank you. And with those amazing words, we finish this episode. Thank you so much, Anna, for your time and for your sharing and for your insight of your job and the coaching. I really enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I like talking about this, as you can tell.
I can tell you are really like in your purpose and very passionate about it, which I love as well. So thank you so much. And I hope that everyone who is listening or watching is also taking something from it and reaches out if they need some help. So thank you so much. And I'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.